Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to the Dominic and Yurt Show. I hope you are all doing well as we hop into the first show of the new year. I hope you guys are all succeeding with your resolutions and that you haven't failed them just yet. I know there's this really weird movement among conservative commentators and talk show hosts to dislike New Year's resolutions. And I have to say, I disagree with that. The general argument that I hear against them is that if you have a specific change that you want to make in life, you should just go ahead and make it. And there's no need to wait for a specific arbitrary time of the year to make big life changes, and that you should just change your life as needed. And so that's one big argument, which is valid if and only if someone is delaying important change until the new year. Whereas I think for a good chunk of people, it's more that New Year's simply inspires the, you know, creative desire to better oneself. And if you ever have the motivation to better yourself, you know, hey, you should go ahead and use that motivation while it's there. And so if you're not making big changes in your life because you're waiting for the new year, then yeah, that's bad. But if you're just looking around and everyone, they're looking for creative ways to try and better themselves, I think saying, you know, hey, I'm going to try to be better also, I think that's fine to join in with that. The other argument that I hear against it is that resolutions, they give you just a few weeks, if that, of empty motivation. And it takes actual discipline to create any form of real change. And that's why gyms, like, you know, where you go to get fit, gyms, they always love the new year, because a lot of people say, you know, hey, I'm going to get into good shape. And then they sign up for a membership and they only go for 3 weeks and they have that membership for the next 9 months. And so gyms, they really like that, because it's obviously true that when the new year comes, there is a lot of empty motivation that will fade out in, you know, who knows, 3 days. And that is certainly true. But A, you should try anyways, just because you might accidentally build discipline out of motivation. And it doesn't always happen, but it's worth a try. Once in a blue moon, it happens. And then B, 9 days of motivation, 9 days of trying to better yourself and change your life. Say you only stick with your resolution for 9 days, that can be pretty big. And so if your resolution is like mine to read the Bible more, 9 days of reading your Bible more, that can teach you something that you will remember for the rest of your life. And so do I think that your resolution will last? Probably not. But do I think you should do it anyways? Absolutely. And so if you've been annoyed and haven't resolved to do anything new this year, hey, it's the third day of the new year. It's not too late to jump in, make a change. So I recommend that personally. One of the best changes that you can make is what we are going to be talking about on today's show, which is chastity. This year, you can resolve to become more chaste in life. And today, I'm going to continue our little mini series here explaining why chastity is important. And remember that chastity, that's just sexual morality. That's what that is. If you are chaste, then you are sexually moral. If you are unchaste, then you are sexually immoral. And essentially, when we talk about chastity, the main reason as Christians we try to be chaste is because, well, God commands us to be chaste. That's the main reason. But with that, a lot of non-Christians, they look at us, they look at Christians, and they see us trying to become chaste, and they think, wow, that seems really boring. Why are you guys doing that? Is it just because some really old book told you so? And so in this mini-series, we are trying to take some time to explain why God thinks that we should be chaste. Because if you are an unbeliever listening to this show, you won't really find it persuading that, you know, oh, you should be chaste because God says so. And as Christians, we don't really think, you know, oh, it's dumb to be chaste, but you know, I'm going to do something dumb because the Bible says it. That's not how the Christian mind works. Rather, what we do is we see the command to be chaste in the Bible, And we think, okay, there's probably some good reason for this. God has his own reasoning. He loves us. He wants what is best for us. And so let's obey his command. And then as we are obeying, then we can take time to figure it out. Why does God want this of us? Why does he want us to be chaste? And so that is what we are doing here today. We are explaining some of the reasoning that goes into chastity. Why is it that God wants us to be chaste? And we've already covered on last week's chastity shows that being sexually immoral, being sexually promiscuous, you know, watching pornography, sleeping around, that type of thing, that will burn out your ability to fall in love. And chastity will protect your ability to fall in love. So chastity serves as a shield of sorts. And we went into some depth on that. And it is a very scary reality that if you are unchaste, you will lose your ability to fall in love. Perhaps you already have lost the ability, and the best way to get it back is to, well, A, to go to God and pray, but B, to become chaste. And that's probably your best bet to try and build back that ability to fall in love. Or maybe you've lost some of your ability to fall in love, but some of it's still intact. It is salvageable, but you have to become chaste. And now, last week, we were saying that you should become chaste because the whole point of it was to help your future relationships, your future spouse, your future marriage. And there's no doubt about that, not a question. There's no arguments to be made that being chaste will somehow not help your future marriage. It definitely will. That's very cut and dry. And I didn't mention this last week, but it's not just being chaste before marriage that's important, but being chaste while you are married is equally, if not more important than before marriage. And so being chaste before marriage, that's almost like training for the real deal. It's almost like training for when it really matters. And so that's one reason I've always disliked the phrase. I dislike it, but to be honest, I still use it sometimes. I dislike the phrase, you should be pure until marriage, because like until, it's like, no, you shouldn't be pure until marriage. You should be pure in marriage as well. You don't get to marriage and then you just, you know, lose your purity. That's not what you should do. Sex, according to the Bible, is not impure by any means. You don't get married and then lose your impurity, but you should remain pure up until and then through marriage. The Bible says to keep the marriage bed holy, not unused. But so last week we covered all of that, how chastity, that will help you with your future marriage or just even your current marriage. But there are a lot of unbelievers, or maybe even some Christians, however, who might say, yeah, well, I'm just really not that interested in getting married, and so God's reasons for chastity, they don't really apply to me. And that is what I want to talk about here today. Before we jump into that, however, we are speaking, we were just speaking about New Year's resolutions. A resolution that you might want to consider is studying your Bible more this year. If that is a resolution that you want to get in on, it is perfect timing. My father and predecessor, Bob Enyart, his life's work, it's a manuscript called The Plot. It has helped teach thousands of Christians to have a better understanding of God's word. And essentially, the problem with a lot of Bible studies is they do a good job looking at individual passages or stories, and they do figure out some very fascinating details, but they neglect to see and understand how the passage fits into the overarching narrative of the entire Bible. They stop paying attention to the plot of the Bible, and so The Plot was my father's life's work. That was the title of his book. And it's kind of his number one claim to fame, so to speak. And just before his passing, he managed to get out the second edition of that book. And now there was some confusion due to his passing, but eventually that book was sent to the printer, and we received copies of that. But when we got that, it was not immediately available to the general public, only to the sponsors of this show, of Real Science Radio, of Theology Thursdays, and the BEL Broadcast Classics, all of which, in addition to this show, the Dominic Enyart Show, air right here on KLTT and KGov.com. And KLTT Radio. That is the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. AM 670 is the blowtorch for the gospel across the Front Range here in Denver. And it costs money to be on airs, and some of you guys, some of you listeners in the audience, you support the show and sponsor, you know, one show a month. And for a long while, after it's public, after it was made available, it was only available to show sponsors, and they had special early access. But now the plot, the second edition, is available to the public. Anyone can get it. Just go to our store, kgov.com. You will see a giant banner at the top. Just click on that. We'll also have a link to it in the description of today's show. I know you guys are going to absolutely love it. I have never met a soul who has read through the entire thing and said that it was not a like life-changing, world-changing, teaching that helped them to better understand the Bible. And my father, Bob Enyart, he was a big player. He was a man who changed the world, and so in more ways than we can count. And so it makes sense that his life's work, the plot, would be a big game changer. I highly recommend that, so definitely check that out if you can. kgov.com, kgov.com, and just click the banner at the top. And so if you want to resolve to study the Bible more, I cannot think of a better way to do so. I find myself going back to the plot all the time. It's both a thriller. It's hard to put down. Not every day do you hear that about a textbook, but it's a thriller. It's hard to put down, and it's a good reference book, and I find myself going back to it time and time again. All right, now the topic at hand, chastity. Chastity will certainly help your current or future marriage. But what about people who do not want to get married? Like, why should they be chaste? Should they be chaste? And if so, why? And of course, the answer is yes. Yes, you should be chaste, even if you are not intending on getting married. And there are a host of reasons to be chaste, even in that situation. And remember that chastity has to do with sexual morality. It has to do with morality. And you can't justly become sexually immoral just because you are not planning on getting married. Whether or not you want to get married, that does not affect morality at all. Now, moral truths should be the underlying motivation for all of our actions. And even if you are single, you should be chaste because God wants you to be. That is the main reason. But again, why is it? Why does God want people to be chaste? Why does he want single people to be chaste? And that is what we are dealing with here today. And now, first of all, for a variety of reasons, typically frustration, people will throw their hands up and swear off marriage. And when you do this, you should realize there is a very significant chance that you will change your mind in the future. Perhaps in the near future, you will change your mind. And so that is one reason you should be chaste. You should be chaste just in case. And so better safe than sorry. You do not want to do something that might hurt your future spouse just because in the moment you might think, oh, I'm not going to have a future spouse. Life, it changes remarkably quickly. And so you shouldn't do something stupid just because you think it's not going to change. Life changes insanely quickly. My life 2 years ago compared to my life right now, I never would have thought that I'd be doing what I'm doing right now. And so, in fact, it's interesting with chastity, becoming chaste may very well be the thing that makes you realize you do want to get married. And it's possible that you have already burnt out your ability to fall in love, as we were discussing last week. And if you have done that, becoming chaste, that might serve to help rebuild your ability to fall in love. And then you might realize, hey, I do want to get married. And so that is reason number one. You might change your mind later on and want to get married. Also keep in mind that say you are physical with someone because you have decided that you are not going to get married. In this case, you are then being selfish and you are destroying that person's ability to fall in love. Just like how when you are unchaste, it destroys your ability to fall in love, so too when you cause others to be unchaste, you help to destroy their ability to fall in love. And that is very selfish. Now, I know a guy who he liked this girl when maybe they were in high school, college, something like that, some age around there. And this girl, she was really nice. She was innocent, pure girl. And he wanted to be with her. He wanted to be with her immorally, physically. And she had never been with someone like that. And he convinced her to be with him. And needless to say, the relationship, it did not last. And when they broke up, she became extremely promiscuous. She started being very physical with guys left and right. And he was the catalyst which caused her to stumble into all of that. And because the reason for that is because when you have a boundary, it's hard to cross that boundary for the first time. But then after you've crossed it once, it's like the floodgates kind of open and you start doing it over and over again. That's why a lot of guys say that they didn't watch any pornography, but then the first time they watched it, they started doing it constantly and the floodgates just open. And that, of course, that is true with sex as well. And so this guy, he sleeps with this girl and then that opens her floodgates to go and sleep with so many different people. And it's almost impossible to stop that. And so I don't know how long they were together, say maybe a few months of time with him trying to be physical with this girl quite possibly ruined her entire life. It quite possibly destroyed her ability to fall in love. It's quite possible that her marriage today, that she suffers because of what this guy did with her. And that's not to say that she doesn't bear any responsibility. She does, but he was in part responsible for that. And now, you know, maybe she recovered from that. Who knows? Probably not. It's not the norm that someone can recover from that. And so he caused her to stumble. He has to carry that knowledge around with him for the rest of his life. Jesus, he talked about causing others to stumble, and he said this, "But whoever causes one of the little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." And I have caused, me personally, Dominic Enyar, I've caused people to stumble due to my sin. Not in that exact way that I described, like that guy. But that's not something that you want, you know, in your mind for the rest of your life. Of course, both me and that guy, we are forgiven by Christ. And so we don't walk around with guilt and shame just nagging at us all the time. But still, trust me when I say that you do not want to go through that. You do not want to be the one who hurt someone else like that. And let me tell you that Bible verse about having a millstone around your neck and being cast into the sea, That strikes a little bit different when you've caused someone else to sin, when you've caused someone else to stumble. It stings a bit. And being chaste, it will certainly help you on that front to avoid that, to not do that. All right, so that is reason number two. You do not want to destroy someone else's ability to fall in love and cause someone else to stumble. That is why you should be chaste even if you are planning on being single. Reason number three is similar to reason number two. You need to respect people's future spouses. And so if you want to be physical with a girl, that is going to really hurt her future husband. And so that story of that guy I told, that might mess her up very well. That'll mess her up, which not only hurts her, but it also hurts her future husband because her issues will affect him tremendously. And then, of course, it's like the sin snowball, right? The sin chain reaction. That guy, he sleeps with that girl, which messes her up. And then she sleeps with 10 guys on the way, along the way to get until she's married. And then she messes all those guys up. And then she messes her husband up. And then her husband, he's so messed up that he messes someone else up and he hurts someone else. And so the original guy, right, who did this, he isn't guilty of all these other people's moral failures, but all of those failures could have been avoided by his chastity. If he had been chaste, all those moral failures could have been avoided. And so when you are unchaste, it's not just that, oh, here's this one-time issue, it's going to cause problems here, and then, you know, that'll kind of fade away. It's like chaos theory, right? And quite literally, if you're dumb just one time, one time being unchaste, one time messing up, that could set off a chain reaction that has consequences, negative consequences, quite literally for the rest of eternity. That is how severe this issue is. And we can even trace tremendous problems on the national scale in the world today back to sexual immorality between two people that happened 2,000 years ago. And we have that history recorded. And so a lot of problems in the Middle East, for example, like in Israel, a lot of those problems can be traced back to sexual immorality of King David. King David and Bathsheba, that immorality has consequences that we still experience and suffer from today because of his sin. And so, so too when we sin, we will cause other people to suffer, and they will have to deal with the consequences of our unchastity. And now it might not be as well pronounced as things with King David because, you know, there aren't people going around recording your every action, but it's still going to be there. Just because the record of it isn't necessarily going to be as prevalent, the history will still be there. And there will still be suffering in the world that you could have prevented by being chaste. And so chaos theory, right? You could prevent suffering for people for thousands of years with chastity. Even if you're planning on being single, it could protect countless people. And so that is reason number three, is that you want to protect other parties, even parties that are not yet involved. And so last week I mentioned that I have been sexually immoral in my past, and I recognize that my sin will hurt new people who come into my life. My sin at 16 years old, that will hurt tremendously, most likely. That will hurt my future spouse, and that's a tough pill to swallow, right? If I see a girl comes into my life and I want to marry her, I have all this baggage that I'm bringing along with me. And that's a tough pill to swallow, that what I did is going to hurt her. But it's still better to recognize reality than to pretend it does not exist. And so I recognize that, and I hope to be an example, and I hope that I can serve as a leader on this front, that we can all recognize collectively that our unchastity will hurt people who we don't know, even people who we will never know. Our unchastity will hurt them. And so we must be chaste, and we have to break or prevent this generational curse. Unchastity, that is such a severe issue. And right now, it's a tall order, I know, but right now, my generation, we are the ones, we have an obligation to fix this generational curse. And it's a tall order, but I think we are up for it. All right, reason number four is that chastity trains you to control your emotions. And so sexual temptation is one of the strongest temptations imaginable, and it comes with extremely strong and potent emotions. And in order to overcome those temptations, of course, you need Christ, but you need to be able to handle your emotions and realize that your emotions, they do not control you, but rather you must be able to control your emotions. And so becoming chaste, it will, not just in this area of life, but in many areas of life, put you back in control of your life. And that's true whether or not you plan on getting married. All right, reason number five, kind of like the last one, is that chastity trains you to try over and over again. For this point, I'm going to read an excerpt here from Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. This is one of his more brilliant points about chastity. He says, quote, "We may indeed be sure that perfect chastity, like perfect charity, will not be attained by any merely human efforts. You must ask for God's help. Even when you have done so, it may seem to you for a very long time that no help, or less help than you need, is being given. Never mind. After each failure, ask forgiveness, pick yourself up, and try again. Very often, what God first helps us towards is not the virtue itself, but just this power of trying again and again. For however important chastity or courage or truthfulness or any other virtue may be, this process trains us in habits of the soul, which are more important still. It cures our illusions about ourselves and teaches us to depend on God. We learn on the one hand that we cannot trust ourselves even in our best moments, and on the other that we need not despair even in our worst, for our failures are forgiven. The only fatal thing is to sit down content with anything less than perfection. Unquote. And so, brilliant point from Lewis there. Attempting to become chaste, that will teach you a great deal, not only about yourself, but it will teach you a great deal about many other stark realities that very often we do not wish to face. And so I've been trying to become chaste ever since I was 16 years old, maybe 16 and a half. And I've had a lot of failures along the way. And by the grace of God, I have also had a degree of success. And so this struggle, it has taught me a lot of very harsh realities that I otherwise would have avoided. And so becoming chaste will, and I can't speak for everyone, but I'm sure that it will shove some truths in your face that you don't want to see, but that you need to see. And so, for example, one thing I learned throughout this process of trying to become chaste is that it is much more effective to avoid a situation that will have temptation. It's better to avoid that situation entirely than it is to try and merely overcome that temptation with sheer willpower. Sheer willpower that will get you through maybe, you know, 3 days of temptation at most. And so wisdom and reliance on God are much more important than willpower. And that's an interesting lesson that I learned through my journey to try and become chaste. And I didn't like learning that, but I had to. As Proverbs 6 teaches, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. And so the Bible words it so wonderfully there. Can you take fire into your stomach and not get burnt? It's like, no, you can't. It doesn't make sense. And so I learned from playing hockey for, you know, a significant portion of my life, that willpower will help me to overcome any difficulty. And that worked for me in hockey. That was a lesson that it taught me. And there was a guy, you know, 6 inches taller than me, 40 pounds heavier, whatever it was. Hey, I just had to out willpower that dude. I just had to get in there and fight him off. And so hockey taught me to rely on willpower in life. But that was a bad lesson to learn. That's not all there is to it. And striving for chastity helped me to realize that it's just untrue. There's more to it than just willpower. And I was confronted with a difficult reality. I had to try something new. I had to try something different that, you know, it wasn't applicable to me in other areas of life. I had to try something new. And very often what is new can be painful. And so who knows what chastity might teach you? Who knows what that process, who knows what type of lessons that might correct for you in your life? And now I'm going to continue tomorrow with some more reasons for chastity. We're almost out of time for today, but it should be noted by now to the average non-Christian listening to this show that Christians, we don't strive for chastity simply because a book told us that we need to follow and obey this command with just blind faith. Rather, we do the things that the book says because there is a lot of wisdom in this book. And when you follow the advice of this book of the Bible, things are better, which is really a testimony to further prove the validity of the Bible. It is not at all natural to resist our sexual impulses. By nature, we have these impulses, and it's difficult to resist them. and it doesn't seem fun to resist them. It's contrary to what we want to do. And so it's like, who thought to resist them in the first place? What was the reasoning behind doing that? And just because of how well this works and how contrary it seems to our nature, if nothing else, it shows that the authors of the Bible were very wise, and they weren't just making up these arbitrary rules. They had an understanding of the human condition, which is much more advanced and in-depth than modern-day psychologists or therapists could ever dream of having. And that's why the advice of the Bible works so well. And by the way, that's not a dig on psychologists or therapists. I know many who say the exact same thing. And it's hard to argue with a book that has shaped all of Judeo-Christian culture, right? Because the more Judeo-Christian you get, the better things are for everyone involved. Hey, that is going to do it for me here today. I am out of time. Remember that the second edition of The Plot is available now to the general public for purchase. Just go to kgov.com, kgov.com, click on the banner, or look in the show description for a link. We'll have a link to that there. Also, go to the store. You'll see it there. Hey, this is Dominic Enyart. May the Lord bless you, and may he make his face to shine upon you.